I don't see any problem with denying this, and then they can redo it at some other point when they have a project that actually fits. I think we're just, you know, causing more complications by putting this over. Obviously, there's not a lot of support for the project. Maybe when a different project comes forward, maybe we can have a different outcome. But that wetland wouldn't have to be filled. If this was a residential, there wouldn't have to be a filling of that lot, given it's not zoned that. But there are a lot of uses that could go on this lot. So to say it's an unusable site unless you fill this wetland, that's just not true. That's just flat not true.
Alderman Nelson.
I can't support it as it is.
My motion to deny stands.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion to deny?
Aye.
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 Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrea.
No.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion to deny carries. I got to do this right. Five ayes, one no, no absent, no abstentions. Okay, move on to concept review for a single-family residential subdivision right across 112th Street.
Motion to approve.
There is no such thing.
It's a concept.
Mike,
aye.
Have a seat. How are you?
To
welcome to the neighborhood.
Thank you.
You know, don't you, that you can't sell any of these lots?
Can't sell them?
I'm being facetious, sorry.
Well, we are in the very early stages of this.
Name and address first.
Oh, Mike Carrick, Carrick Homes, 11.
Haven't seen you in a while.
No, we haven't been here. Well, we've been building, but not developing. 11600 West Lincoln Avenue, West Dallas, Wisconsin. And basically, we're in very early stages.
Can you take it outside, please?
Thank you.
Welcome, Mr. Carrick.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Basically, we're in the very early stages of this because of the corona and the city hall being closed and so forth. We haven't.
Sorry about that.
We haven't had any chance to have sit-down meetings with the planners or the assistant planner or basically anybody. We did come up with a little plat here of 17 lots. It's probably not going to work economically. And I guess there's some objections. We got some memorandums, so there's some objections as part of it anyway. So we would like to first find out if the city council would be amenable to changing the zoning from business to residential. And I don't know if you can tell me that or not.
The deal on these is exactly the purpose you're here for, is to get just take our temperature.
Yes.
We can't give you a yes or no.
Okay.
You're supposed to derive your feelings from how we comment.
Okay. I've been listening to your comments all night, so.
I think you saw the I'll just start off. I think you saw the comments that I gave staff. Did you? Did Mike see
yes.
the comments?
Yeah.
I don't object to where you want to go residentially. Because there's residential on the other side of the street, it makes sense to have residential on your side because you're not going to have industrial,
right?
Residential, industrial. That doesn't make any sense. So, yeah. My only thing was, instead of two cul-de-sacs, maybe make it a loop street instead, because our DPW is going crazy with cul-de-sacs.
Right.
It's a pain in the butt in the wintertime.
Right.
But I don't think I'd have a problem. Any other comments for Alderman Nelson, Alderman of the District?
Mr. Carrick, how do you feel about reducing that cul-de-sac plan?
You know, my planner's not here, but I guess we'd like to kind of come up with a whole new idea. We'd like to meet with staff and everything before we come back to the council. And we also have to get a wetland delineation to see what's going to work.
Okay. Because so I know you're in the early stages. I don't mean to cut you
off.
Very
early stages. And we picked, you know, we basically went on the contract with this right around the time that Corona broke, and it's been kind of a tough thing to you know, normally I would meet with staff and get all the inputs and so forth, but we weren't able to do that.
Thank you.
I do appreciate you at least taking a few minutes to talk to me about this tonight. Thank you.
Wait, hold on. Give me the bum's rush here. Alderman Nelson's got the floor.
Just to continue, did you see on page 175, well, the staff comments part? I mean, is this something, even if you saw the comments listed, I know you really haven't addressed a few things, but do you see any other obstacles? Just, I mean, I know we're early again, and don't let COVID be the killer of this thing.
No. Well, we're only getting, right now with our conceptual layout, we only had 17 lots and 20 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just with the amount of roads and so forth, it's very difficult to make it work. So we would like to see if we can get more yield out of it.
What type of number are you thinking?
I believe the project across the street is R6, and so we would think if we could get some birds in that R6 zoning, that would be nice.
Well, if you're at 17 and it's not making money, what's that? And I'm not going to hold it. I'm just, what's the number you think? I mean, I know you're thinking of a number.
I'd like to get 30.
That's a tough one.
That's a lot of houses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I'd like to get.
Alderman Dandre.
I mean, Mike, if you want to get a pulse, and it's not going to cost you a lot of money to at least sit down with staff.
Right.
Hey, are we interested in residential over there? Sure. Absolutely. It would fit. So you do the feasibility study and you see if it's going to work.
Okay.
Okay. But I know time is money, and you don't expend a lot of money in drawing up master plans, but get the pulse, work with staff, and see if you can make it work.
Great.
You're the businessman.
That's what we'd like to do.
Okay.
Just it is wet over there, just so you know.
Especially today, probably.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Yeah, there's a reason why we're so close to downtown Milwaukee and we have so many undeveloped lots. There's a lot of hydric soils out here, as you know. Just wondering the history of the business, the bee development, and why we would move away from that, because I know we don't have a lot of business development zonings.
In 2015, we met with Bear Development, and lots of people like to deny this, but in 2015, we met with Bear Development about this particular exact site and the site you're looking at.
Remember this, Jesse?
In the engineering conference room, and I said, this is going to be an industrial park. And Bear said, nah, don't see it. And we talked for a while, and I said, yeah, it is. And they said, we see residential, some multifamily on the north. Maybe we can do some commercial on the west. I said, maybe you ought to go think about it. And they thought about it. They came back a year and a half later, and that was the beginnings of what we're seeing now. But across the street, in my mind, that land being wet and I don't think in the comp plan that's industrial or commercial.
Business park.
It's on the opposite side of 112th.
Oh no, that's business park.
Is it? That's a good transition to some of the estate-sized houses that are on that side of the street. That's what I always thought. But, you know, I'm only one, but that's... But then the Bear Development started shrinking in terms of houses and increasing in terms of industrial. So, but now that we have the houses on 112th Street, that kind of puts the border on it.
I wasn't finished. That was just one comment. I just wondered, so...
Oh, by the way, the comp plan says industrial park, and then if you read the narrative in the comp plan, it says uses less than the industrial park, or words to that effect. So
I'm just not a huge fan of losing business zoning because we've always tried to meet some goal of having a balance between business and residential. So that was the one comment. I do agree that if you are going to move forward with homes, that I'm not a favor of in favor of the cul-de-sacs. We've had a couple of areas in my district that they forced a road through instead of doing cul-de-sacs so they could get more lots. You know, if they would have done cul-de-sacs, but that wasn't allowed there. So I think we should follow through with that. And I think you have a lot of wetlands to look at, so that before you spend a lot of time on that, you probably need to definitely look at that issue. So I'm not opposed to smaller lots, maybe unlike the district alder person. I think that sometimes families are looking for smaller lots, so I might be the odd one out on that, but I have an open mind. Maybe what you said was a little bit too dense, but I am open to considering a few more lots.
Thank you. Well, I was going back this way, John, so I'm going to interrupt. We do need workforce housing, but I'm not sure that you can afford to build it or we can afford to build it. And unfortunately, workforce housing doesn't lend itself to being on the outskirts of a town. So, but you would know that more than I. Alderman Nelson.
Mr. Carrick, there's another development that's not come official yet that's just to the north, which is looking at the current zoning schedule. That was a sidebar to that, but what are you looking at as an average home price that you're looking to sell if you did a package? Like, what are you looking at?
I would like to keep it between 375 and 450.
And that's if you got 30 houses?
If I got 30 houses.
Okay. And if, I think they were kind of touched on it about the estate size, if you had to keep it with R2?
That would be...
With the 17? But then yeah. You wouldn't... So you're telling me at 17, you're out?
I don't think I can put them in. I think it's going to cost me more to put them in than I can buy them across the street for.
Okay, because so,
at that point, I wouldn't develop it.
Do you think the trend for these larger lots is what I'm hearing from other developers, that the trend is really stronger for larger lots, larger homes in this area of the county? Is that what's the motivator for you? Or,
I build in a lot of cities, and my forte, we build anywhere from below 300s in outskirts to parade homes of a million or over. But we're the marketplace that we have been able to generate our business from is in that 375 to maybe 475 market.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Anyone else? Thank you, Mike. Good to see you.
Thank you. Very nice to see all of you.
Okay. G8, report on expenditures for the COVID situation. Mr. Ratzenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a repetitive report that I have been providing the council on a meeting-by-meeting basis. I modified the report this time around to provide the balance from the prior meeting so you could see the change that's taken place instead of just what the current balance is. I feel like that provides you more and better information. So through the mid part of last week, the city has now expended $176,000 on COVID-related issues, and that's up from about $24,000 from the previous 2 weeks. We are seeing a slowdown in the amount of labor costs that we're investing in this particular activity at this point in time, and that's primarily because the activity in the fire department is declining at this time. I will remind the council that you've allocated $250,000 of general fund contingency reserve towards this particular activity, and staff would come to you as we exceed the $200,000 level requesting additional appropriations should that be required. Be happy to answer any questions you might have at this time.
One additional piece of information, I did have a conversation this afternoon with the Director of Emergency Management for Milwaukee County. I have been in discussions with them about reimbursement of our labor cost for the health department for managing the COVID crisis at the House of Corrections. They did a wink and a nod promise to reimburse us for those expenses. I think the current school of thought is that we can whistle Dixie for that money, in keeping with reimbursement from all other government entities. So I just want to let you know that that's probably not going to happen, but we continue to work on that.
Mr. Mayor, one other comment. I did add discussion with this week, which has not been there before, and that is the final paragraph where I am starting to identify revenue shortfalls that are occurring in the city related to this. And as we are having discussions with finance directors from other communities around the state, it seems as if revenue shortfalls at the municipal level will eventually become the bigger issue for municipalities. And at this point in time, we've done some preliminary estimates on revenue shortfalls. The city of Franklin, at this time, on a fairly preliminary basis, the city may be looking at a revenue shortfall in the $400,000 basis on an annual basis. About a quarter of that would be a revenue shortfall to the Tourism Commission, in that it is likely hotel taxes that will not get collected and normally then contributed to the tourism organization. So the general fund might be looking at something on the order of $300,000 in revenue shortfalls for the current year. But it will become an increasing topic for discussion.
And the current thought on the shortfall at the state is that they're going to go after the immediate source of revenue is going to be reducing shared revenues to the municipalities.
I had a meeting today with the other finance directors and a meeting with the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. And the League of Wisconsin Municipalities' opinion is that it would take legislative action to reduce 2020 state shared revenues, and that there's very little flavor in Madison to have an expenditure reduction prior to this fall's election. And so the league is anticipating there will be no shortfalls in state shared revenues in the current calendar year, primarily from a political standpoint, and that it would take additional legislative action to reduce the first half of 2021's revenues, because it is a already appropriated expenditure by the part of the legislature, and the legislature is somewhat nervous about the governor's veto pen, so it's unlikely that the legislature will enact too much legislation along that line. But in the next biennium, which starts in July of 2021, all bets are off, and we are hearing that the Department of Transportation is looking at something between 5% and 10% shortfall in revenues this year. That would translate into potential general transportation aid reduction for the city. And on the other shared revenue part, it's unknown at this point in time, because I think the state is also looking at preliminary information, but they are seeing significant shortfalls in sales tax and income tax revenues currently, and that would translate into less resources for the state to share with local governments.
Well, fortunately, we're not as closed as we were before. Maybe we can stem the bleeding. Okay, any questions for the director, finance director?
Mayor.
Alderman Dandridge.
Paul, I would just make sure that you work with the mayor and start to come up with some type of plan, talking to the department heads. Granted, this year's budget, I understand, is set, but if we can find cost savings to be able to spread out, and next year's budget is going to be a nightmare to put together, but I wish you the luck.
Thank you. We're going to need it.
Alderman Nelson.
I know this, I'm just kind of going off of Alderman Dandry. I'm kind of veering a little bit in preparation for our next finance committee meeting as far as other jurisdictions are, like Milwaukee County is furloughing people right now. I mean, there's a lot of actions going in place now, anticipating these huge shortfalls coming up. And I would just like to echo that, I'm sure, at our, in a couple of weeks when we meet or whatever, we'll be talking about some things.
There's been discussion between staff and the mayor about the topics for the Finance Committee meeting next week, and this will undoubtedly be one of those. But the city of Franklin, as it relates to the county of Milwaukee, are very different in terms of its financial position. City of Franklin's primary revenue source is tax levy revenue, and we will receive that this year as it relates. That's 70% of our annual revenues are in that category. So there are some revenues that are at risk, but not as great. We do not. The city of Franklin does not have variable revenues as several other cities in the state, such as transportation revenues. We don't have those here. We don't have parking revenues that other communities rely on for significant elements. We don't have pools that we run where we have revenues, and other recreation facilities that have significant revenues. So our revenue sources are more fixed. State shared revenues are a significant part of our revenues, probably 10% plus, and we're going to have to take a hard look at what those are, and that will cause some issues. So we will have our challenges in terms of budget preparation, as one of the aldermen has suggested, but we are not looking at a significant issue for the current year. Our issue will be 2021 and beyond.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. G9.
Here.
Is there a motion to receive and place on file?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Alderman Wilhelm?
G9.
G9, authorization to the Southeast Construction to construct a concrete walk for $12,600. Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I know that Park Commission, Alderman Nelson, they've been really waiting to get this park finished.
Is there a motion to approve?
I second. Have a motion. You know.
Let her do it.
I'm going to amend the motion to authorize Southeast Construction LLC to construct the concrete walk and patio at Pleasant View Park Pavilion, Evergreen, for $12,600, which cost include the impact fee matching funds.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Mr. Mayor?
Uh-oh.
Prior to approving that, the council action sheet indicated that there are insufficient appropriations in the approved project for the Pleasant View Park to award this contract, and so the council would have to use contingency funds in the capital improvement fund to award this contract, or direct staff to bring back a budget amendment to move appropriations from the Pleasant View Park improvement appropriation to the Pleasant View Park pavilion appropriation.
What is the intended use of the 150 grand in the improvement appropriation?
That is currently under study by Rukert Milkey to come up with a plan for the improvements to the park. So certainly this Great. Could be used for that purpose, but the appropriation that's in the budget for Pleasant View Park Pavilion only has $4,200 left in it, so you don't have $12,600 to award.
So you can take eight out of that. Alderman Wilhelm.
Yes, and Paul and I had this conversation earlier, which was I was going to say, but I got cut off and forced to do the motion, so I understood all of that, and
so then the motion would be to approve this contract from Capital Improvement Fund contingency, which would be the current available appropriation.